All right. Well, it is still summertime. Can you believe it? Now, for those of you who are teachers and, you know, you have kids maybe in school, like, you've got a couple more weeks, okay? You can relax and be in summer, right? So we're continuing our Summer at the Fountain series. And I have to tell you, I'm so glad to be back with you guys, back in the saddle, if you will. Watch out. But it was a lot of fun being away at the beach with my family. And we made a lot of great memories. Some of you have already commented about our crazy Facebook picture life that we've got going on. Some of it's true. No, it was fun. We had a lot of good time. But at the same time, I have to tell you really honestly, I did miss you guys. It was one of those things where it was good for my soul, and it was a good time of growth. Honestly, I read a lot of scripture, read a lot of books about leadership stuff, and just trying to develop a little bit more. But also was praying a lot as we're walking down the beach about what God wants for this next season. And I was reminded though again and again when I was away of just how much I love this church. And I don't mean just the church and the concept of the fountain, but I mean you, the people, and what God's doing here. I was reminded what God has been doing in the life of this church. First of all, a church that starts out like we did, 90% of them don't make it. Did you know that? How cool that is. Not only is the fountain thriving, but it's continuing to make disciples, and some really cool things are on the horizon. I'm even more excited, though. I never want us to become a church that is always looking back to the past and saying, well, those were the good old days. Like, wasn't that cool back then, right? I always want us to be a church that says, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did back then. But I'm even more excited because when you're involved, we know that something is on the horizon. We know that you're going to keep moving and working. And I really believe, we've been praying a lot through this fall, and I'm excited about what's going to happen with our student ministry, with some getting people more connected to this church in discipleship and all sorts of things. But I truly believe that God's best for this church and God's best for this community is on the horizon. It's coming. We're also part of Imagine More campaign. And I was praying through that during the beach, and I was thinking how amazing that is of the sacrificial commitment that so many people made to be a part of the Imagine More campaign, to create a 24/7 presence in this community where we can reach more people more quickly. We can see lives change forever. And what a legacy we can leave. And I was thinking, you know, as we continue to grow in this place, I can just imagine what that's going to be like and what God is ready to do when we move into our facility for the first time, what God is going to just open up the floodgates, right? But God is doing something now, and we're part of it. And so I'm excited you're here. And with that said, I have to tell you, I don't want to rub it in too much, but I did a lot of watching the waves. I was watching a lot of waves this past week, and you know, that'll be about as much as I'll say. I'm not going to rub it in too much, but I will say this, as I was watching the waves crash, there's something about the waves that has always captivated me. In fact, I used to do some surfing when I was little, not like what you see those crazy guys doing on TV, but I was able to stand up on a board, and I was able to ride for a little bit, right? That was my surfing, and I remember that thrill, that feeling, that rush of what it's like to get in the ocean, and you're paddling in order to catch a wave that's coming behind you. It's like one of those things where your heart starts racing and you're paddling on your board to ride an approaching wave, a wave that you didn't create. So cool. And it's one of those things where as the wave starts to get closer, I remember this from growing up. I'm too scared of sharks to do it now, but as the wave starts to get closer, Shark Week did that for me, you know. But as the wave starts to get closer, you start to feel the magnitude in that moment as the wave is over top of you, how small you are compared to how powerful the wave is. And you also start to realize as you get closer to the wave, as the wave gets closer to you, it starts to almost pull you in toward it, almost inviting you to be a part of it. And it's one of those things where after paddling and paddling and paddling to catch the wave, there is that moment, that amazing moment when the power of the wave starts to take over, where you no longer need to paddle in order to move anywhere. The wave, the power of the wave just propels you forward. And I was thinking, what an incredible, as I was watching waves and thinking about that time this week, I was thinking, what an incredible metaphor that is when it comes to how God moves in our life. What an incredible metaphor a wave is to how the Holy Spirit wants to work in our life and how the Holy Spirit wants to move in the world. It's like he's moving and wanting us to be part of it. And it's one of those things where today I wanted to share with you some lessons from the waves, some things that we can learn from the waves that teach us about how the Holy Spirit is working and how God wants to move in our lives. And I was thinking even more than that. I was thinking today, if I could just share some really helpful things of how we can recognize, and how we can follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. How we can follow that. Now, here's the thing. We've been singing a lot of Holy Spirit songs, and I have to be honest. When I was younger, when somebody would talk about the Holy Spirit growing up, I always felt like it was kind of weird. I always felt like it was kind of creepy, you know? It's one of those things where I knew that I understood that God the Father, you know, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I understood God the Father because I have a father. I read about God, and that made sense to me. God is Father. I understood about God the Son, Jesus, because, you know, I'd read about Jesus. He did all these cool things, and he died on the cross and rose from the grave. And I saw in my church growing up, we had this all these pictures of Jesus down the hallway. It's amazing what you remember when you're growing up, little things that maybe are insignificant. But there was this huge picture of Jesus in the hallway, and he was knocking on a door. And I was thinking, isn't that cool how Jesus knocks on the door of our heart and how he invites us in? But I remember that picture. And so it made sense about the Father, and then it made sense about the Son, but I never really understood about the Holy Spirit. Some people even call it the Holy Ghost, and that creeped me out even more, right? It's like, seemed like some weird ghost story, you know? And so, and I think because we don't understand the Holy Spirit so many times, Craig Rochelle once said that oftentimes we fall into one of two extremes when it comes to the Holy Spirit, how we view it. The Holy Spirit oftentimes, the first extreme that we can fall into is an overemphasis of the Holy Spirit. People in churches can sometimes have an overemphasis of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you go to a church, or maybe you've been around people where where everything is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is here, you know? And so a Bible falls down, and everybody starts going crazy, you know, speaking in tongues. And that's not tongues, they're just languages. But it's one of those things where everybody starts going crazy, and they're like, oh, the Holy Spirit is active, and it's moving. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's one of those things where I raise my hand, and like, I don't understand this. And if that's God, I don't know. I don't understand this. Like, that's how it was growing up. But at the same time, instead of an overemphasis, the other extreme is sometimes even more common. People have an underemphasis of the Holy Spirit. And this is kind of how I was growing up. We sang about and we talked about the Father, and we talked about the Son. But the other guy, you know, was in our songs, the Holy Spirit. But we kind of talked about him as like that weird Uncle Eddie, you know, that you don't really talk about in the family, you know. This is kind of how it was with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were like that too. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit's not some weird being that's just floating around everywhere, you know. The Holy Spirit is simply the living and active presence of God. It's God. It's a living and active presence of God in the world. And so it's not some weird ghost story. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the Spirit of God. It's God in spirit form working in the world. So I want you to check out today, before we jump into a couple of these lessons from the waves, I want you to check out today what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. Here's what Jesus said. He says this, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus saying this, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another," what does this word say? Advocate. Sometimes it says counselor. "I will give you another advocate or counselor to help you and be with you forever." Here's what it says next. It says that advocate, that counselor is the Spirit of truth, so the Holy Spirit. "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him." That's how I was growing up. Many of you, "Well, we don't understand that." But Jesus continues. He says, "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be" where? "In you." And so this is Jesus talking about this before he goes to the cross, and he's telling people, "Hey, I got to tell you this. Like, there's somebody else that's coming after me. There's somebody else coming after me." Now, here's the thing. If I were to ask you today, would you rather have Jesus, if you could have Jesus with you all the time or the Holy Spirit with you all the time, you get to pick. Most of us would say, "I pick Jesus." Like, I would love Jesus to be with me. I mean, how cool would that be if somebody breaks their arm, like on the playground, and you got Jesus with you, right? It's like, oh, this is going to be good, you know? It's like, Jesus, can you heal this guy? And Jesus goes, poof, and the guy's arm is healed. Like, that would be awesome, right? Or at the same time, you know, let's say, like, there's somebody in great need, you know, there's a great financial need, there's a great whatever need, and almost like, you know, the youth group only has two Oreos and one can of Mountain Dew, and Jesus, hey, we got a whole youth group to feed. Like, can you multiply this, Jesus? And he multiplies the Oreos and the Mountain Dew. Like, how cool would that be, right? But the truth is, Jesus answered this question, not about Oreos and Mountain Dew, but Jesus actually answers this question about, like, I'm telling you, here's the one that's better. And Jesus says this in John chapter 16, verse 7. Here's what he says. He says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." What? It says, "Unless I go away, the advocate," who is that? The Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus is saying it's so much better for you to have the Holy Spirit with you. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like, what in the world is that all about? It's because the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He's our counselor. It's literally God who was sent to be not only around us and with us, but to be, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be in us. And Jesus, you know, so Jesus goes and he dies on the cross. He raises from the grave. He's on the earth for 40 days in bodily form. He ascends into heaven. And so now, I was explaining this to my son Peyton the other day, how God is like a transformer. He loved that, you know? It's like, well, yeah, God is, it's one God. He's the Father, and then he transforms, and he is the Son, and then he transforms, and he's the Holy Spirit. You know, 4-year-olds understand that, right? So I was telling him, here's the cool thing. God the Father is in heaven, and he can help us down in this earth. Now Jesus is in heaven, and the scriptures say that he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, meaning that he is filled with all power and all authority. But it's kind of like, well, we would be kind of stuck if there's the Father and then there's the Son, and they're just in heaven, and here we are down on this earth. But the good news, and why Jesus was so excited for us, is because he said, I'm going to send you somebody who's better than me. Like, I'm going to send you somebody who, like, I'm one person, but I'm going to send you somebody who can be in you and can work through you, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's God working in you. And so if we are seeking to follow God closely, we don't have to wonder how we should live or what we should do. The Holy Spirit of God promises to guide us and direct us and counsel us. And so when I was, I was in seventh grade, it was this moment where God had been working in my life. The Holy Spirit, I know now, was continuing to work in my life and to show me how much God loves me. But I remember I was at a youth camp. It was at Toccoa Falls College. It was called Teens Love Christ at my church. And they're actually doing that they actually just finished that this week. What a cool thing, this youth group. But anyway, we were at this youth camp, and I remember listening to the youth pastor. You know, I don't even know what she was saying, but all I know is that God was knocking on the door of my heart, just like that picture. And when I say knocking on the door of my heart, it wasn't this loud, "Andy, wake up," you know? It was just a small, subtle nudge, where it was almost like, you know, if somebody would say, "Hey, you need to be part of this." It was kind of like what God was saying to me in that moment. And I had loved God, but in that moment, I found myself getting out of my seat, walking up to the altar and praying with my youth pastor. Now, some spirit didn't just carry me there. I chose that, but it was the knocking on the door of the Holy Spirit that caused me to say yes. And so it's one of those things where the Holy Spirit is literally God in spirit form. God in spirit form. He's God who works alongside of you, and God who, if you're a follower of Jesus, promises to be in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to be your comforter, counselor, helper, and your friend. He's in you if you're a follower of Jesus. Now, all throughout the Bible, though, there's stories, tons of stories of men and women who were empowered by the Holy Spirit and were able to do incredible things, not because they were so good, but because they were filled with God, filled with His Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit didn't just come around when the Lord sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, did you know this, has been around since verse 2 of our Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 is when you find the Holy Spirit. It says, the whole Bible, it starts out like this: "In the beginning was the Word." Or excuse me, that's John. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, A darkness filled the surface of the deep, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. So you see that in creation, before God created anything, we see the Father is there. We see God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was there at creation. Crazy, right? And at the same time, we get to John chapter 1, and it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, or Jesus. And the Word, or Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so it's not that there was just the Heavenly Father, and then Jesus came along, and then the Holy Spirit. It has always been one God in three persons. There's always been God, the Father, Son, and Spirit was there in creation. And so the thing that's so cool, though, is you see evidence of the Spirit even in the Old Testament. In the book of Joshua, Moses was about to pass his leadership baton off to Joshua. He'd been leading the people toward the promised land. They weren't able to enter, and he hands the leadership baton over to Joshua. And it says in the scripture that Joshua was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit and was given great wisdom. And that wisdom helped him to lead God's people into the promised land. It also says about King David that the Spirit of the Lord came on King David and enabled him to lead in a way that went well above his stature or his ability. He was able to lead the people of God to become the king God wanted him to be. It also says, I remember in the story of Ezekiel, there's all these times when the scripture says that the Spirit came to Ezekiel, and he helped him to proclaim to hear what God was saying and to proclaim a message of God to his people during that time. The Spirit was working. Isn't that cool? At the same time, we get to, it's kind of like, okay, that was great in the Old Testament, but it gets even better for us. Because back then in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would come upon people and then would leave, would come upon people and would leave. But then in Acts chapter 2, Jesus is in where? At the right hand of the throne of God. The Father is in heaven, and the Holy Spirit rushes in like a ruah, like a pneuma in the Greek, mighty wind of God. People start talking in other languages, and everybody's like kind of freaked out, like, what was that all about? But the big thing was the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of every believer. And because of that, he promises to never leave us. He doesn't come and then leave, come and leave. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Spirit of God in you. And it's one of those things where when the Holy Spirit came on the people in the early church, they were able to do incredible things, not because of who they were, but because of the Spirit of God. In fact, they were able to heal people in Jesus' name. How cool would that be? I pray in Jesus' name that you would be healed. And people were healed. Wow, right? And it was one of those things where they were able to, because of the Spirit, to preach and to share the good news of Jesus and to love and to serve in such a profound way that the scripture says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thousands upon thousands were coming to the Lord because of who the Holy Spirit in their life. And then we see in the Apostle Paul how the Holy Spirit turned Paul, with the greatest turnaround stories in the Bible, from persecuting Christianity and Christians to becoming one of the greatest proclaimers of the gospel. And because of the Spirit in his life, he planted churches all over the world. And so really the real truth for today is this, is we can have everything, every possession, every resource, everything. If we have everything minus the Holy Spirit, it's always limited. Everything minus the Holy Spirit is always limited. But check this out, and this is good news for us. But if you have nothing, if you feel like you're nothing, if you've got nothing, right? Nothing to use, nothing to give, nothing in your life, nothing plus the Holy Spirit equals everything. Everything you need, God will do it through you. This is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And so with that in mind, let's jump into a few lessons that we can learn from the waves about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here's lesson number one. Lesson number one is this, that in the ocean, God is always sending a new wave. Have you ever noticed that? God is always sending a new wave, even when we're not looking for it. You know, it's interesting how God has designed the ocean that I didn't count when I was at the beach, like how often, but it's like every 2 seconds, like another wave comes. Isn't that cool? It's like, well, there was a wave. Whoop, there's another wave, right? In fact, I was watching the waves for a while, and then there was time where my family was like, hey, let's play some Frisbee. Or my son Peyton was like, let's play some baseball, you know? So we played, and I wasn't watching the waves anymore. I started to kind of lose focus of, you know, stopped really kind of hearing the waves crash, you know, and I really started to forget about the waves that were around me. But they kept breaking and they kept breaking, but I stopped noticing what was happening around me. And I think the same is true when it comes to the Holy Spirit and us. Because the thing is the Holy Spirit is alive and active, moving in your life and wanting to move in the world. He wants you to be part of it. But so many times we don't recognize it or we're not paying attention. In fact, one of the reasons I think we miss the Holy Spirit in our lives is because we don't know how to recognize the Holy Spirit sometimes. I mean, it's one of those things where in the Old Testament, following the leading of the Spirit of God was more simple in some ways, but it was also pretty general. In fact, when Moses had led the people of God out of the promised land, they're wandering in the wilderness. You know, these people, like, they don't know anything about God, really. They just got some Ten Commandments, and they're trying to follow God. And so God gave them a very clear sign of how to follow him. In fact, here's what it says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Here's the sign. It says this: "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to," what does it say? "To guide them." The Holy Spirit is our guide. "To guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night." And so it was a simple sign. It was kind of funny, if you will, you know? There's a cloud by day that God would give and a pillar of fire, which would have been pretty cool to see, right, at night. And it's one of those things where it was really simple. When the cloud moved or the fire moved, the people would say, "Well, I guess this is where God wants us to go," and they would follow God. And then when the pillar of fire would stop, the people would say, "Well, I guess this is where God wants us to be," and they would camp out until God moved them again. And now some of us are like, "No, I would love to have a sign like that." Like, you know, maybe not the fire, that'd be scary, but the pillar of cloud, I'll take that. You know, a clear sign. Maybe you're searching for direction in some kind of way right now. Maybe you're looking for that clear sign, and I'm glad you're here. Hopefully this will be helpful today. But it was one of those things where today the Holy Spirit is a little different. The Holy Spirit, God speaks to us so closely and really so specifically for us because he lives in us. In fact, instead of it being some big burning thing, the Holy Spirit today, God guides us mostly by placing something on our conscience. God oftentimes also puts a burning desire on your heart to do something or to not do something. Or sometimes it's just a simple, subtle nudge in a very subtle way. You know, one of the best ways, though, that I think we can recognize and know if we're hearing from God, if you kind of sense, "Is God calling me here? Is this where God wants me to do?" Here's three really quick ways that we can recognize and know this is God. The first way that we can test and know is Scripture. Like, if you're kind of like, "God, are you calling me to do this?" The question we need to all ask first is this. Does this match up with Scripture? Is what I'm hearing from God, is it in harmony with what God's character and what God says in the Scripture? It's one of those things where God will always, 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 always move according to his character in the Scripture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's not going to be somebody in the Bible and be somebody else out on the street, right? And so if we want to know, is this God? Is this what God wants me to do? The first thing we can do is say, does this match up to Scripture? And if it starts leading you into some kind of sin, or if it starts leading you in a way that's not congruent with who God is in the Bible, it's not God. Sometimes we miss this in our culture. You know, we try to use our reason and, you know, our want to, and it doesn't match up with Scripture, and we start to say, well, maybe this is still what God wants. Well, if it's against what Scripture says, it's not what God wants. And so it's one of those things where we can use the Scripture to help us to discern. But as you read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit oftentimes will guide you and lead you to respond to the Scripture. So that's how God leads. Here's a second way that we can discern is to, number two, be in prayer. To be in prayer. Now remember, the Holy Spirit's our guide and our counselor. And so when you're connected with God, that's what prayer is about, being connected with God. When you're connected with God and praying to him, when you're seeking his will, it's like, when we knock on the door, God will open it. That's the promise, you know? And it's one of those things where as we pray, God will often reveal and confirm what he wants to do by opening, and oftentimes a door will open. Oftentimes the door will close, right? God will often reveal some of those things as we pray. You know, at the same time, if something matches up with Scripture, like this is what I'm called to do, I check the Scripture and I'm praying about it, oftentimes God will reveal it to you as you pray by making you more passionate about a direction you're supposed to go. Or maybe more convicted about it, something that you shouldn't be a part of. This is how God works in prayer. But the third thing's a little bit different. The third thing of how we can test if this is God is this. Number three, community. Community. This is the most underappreciated thing in all of this generation, especially in the church. Community. It's the one big thing that as Mandy and I were praying on the beach, we were saying, you know, this right here is what church, it's not what church is all about, but this is one of the biggest things that is missing in the church today, is a sense of true, genuine community that's dynamic, that's leading people closer to Jesus, a community that you want to be part of. This is why you don't just go and you sit through a sermon and you hear some music and go home. God wants you to be part of a community. And it's one of those things where God speaks to us, not through just our friends, but God speaks through other Christians. You know, when I sensed that God was calling me into pastoral ministry, I remember I started praying about it, and I read Scripture about it, and I saw, okay, yep, God calls people who are unqualified. Yep, that's me. I realized, okay, I'm too young, God. Well, God called people like Timothy and people who were too young, and I thought, okay, that's in congruence with the Scripture. Check two, right? Then I started praying about it, and God kept making the passion for ministry stronger. It's like, okay, well, maybe there's something here. And I told my pastor about it, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find some people who you really trust in the faith, who are mature in the faith, and I want you to tell them, people who know you really well, and I want you to see what they say. Because it's a way that you can test, are you hearing the same thing? And about a week before I started doing this, I remember I was in the office of my chorus teacher, and she said, Andy, have you ever thought about going into ministry? I was like, no, I've never thought about that in the world. You know, I'm just a jock, you know, and that sings a little bit, right? But it was one of those things where God uses people to help confirm or even to move us away from something. Oftentimes, when you can talk to people in your life and who know Jesus well, and you can say, "Here's what I'm hearing from God. I prayed about it. I've read some Scripture. What do you think?" And they may say, "Hey, I don't know that that's where God wants you to be. I don't see that in the Scripture. Like, doesn't seem to be part of his character." Well, good thing you talked to somebody, right? That God reveals his Spirit through community. So the question is this: how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? So how is it speaking to you now, and how is this Holy Spirit wanting to work in your life? Here's number two. Every surfer knows, number two lesson, every surfer knows from about the ocean that you can't create a wave. You can't create a wave. We were trying to do this with our son Peyton in the pool. We were trying to make a wave that he could surf behind. It doesn't work. You can paddle and paddle and paddle. Every surfer knows you can't produce your own wave, no matter how hard you try. And so some of us know that in our lives. We've been paddling, trying to change things in our life, in our relationships, in our finances, in our faith, trying to make a change with our own power. And it's like, man, this isn't working. Some of us have been trying to create purpose with our own human ingenuity, but without the Spirit's guidance. Maybe some of us keep paddling, trying to move things forward in our life, trying to produce some growth or some progress or to make a difference. But if we do it without all of that, without the power of the Lord, it oftentimes feels empty and puny. You can't create a wave. In the same kind of way, too oftentimes we try to do ministry and we try to do life without the Holy Spirit. We try to do it by ourselves. And the truth is, we all need an act of God, just like that wave, to rush in and to change us and to empower us. And I think there's a whole nother level, as we in Georgia say, there's a whole nother level of the whole of power from God that's available to us. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you if you're a follower of Jesus. And yet so many people live a spirit-less life instead of being spirit-filled, because we're either unaware of the power of God in us, or we kind of resist where God wants us to go. And so that brings us to the last lesson. Lesson number three about the waves is this, is that you can't control the direction a wave breaks. You can't control the direction a wave breaks, only how you respond to it. You know, it's one of those things where every single wave has this focused direction, doesn't it? Like it is on a mission to reach its destination. And the same is true when it comes to God, to the Holy Spirit. God is moving. God is working in your life and in the world, and he wants you to be part of it. But the thing is, when we see a wave coming or we sense the Holy Spirit moving, it's the same kind of idea. We have three responses to an ocean wave and to the Holy Spirit. The first response is to choose to miss the wave. We can miss the wave, right? I mean, that's an awful thing as a surfer. The best wave that you have been waiting for, it passes you in the ocean, and there's this little puny one right behind you. I mean, how awful is that? It's like, man, I just missed that wave. And so many of us, God is calling us, God is wooing us, God is challenging us, and oftentimes because of fear, we watch that wave of what God wants to do go by, and we miss it. It's one of those things where fear oftentimes makes us lose our focus on God's presence and his power. Fear oftentimes causes us to ask, well, is it safe? Like, am I going to be okay? Like, is this actually going to work? I mean, what if I take the step, and what if things fail, God? What happens then? Instead of being afraid of what might happen, the better question to ask is, God, if you are really in this, if you are really leading, what if I miss it? What if I don't go, what if I don't step in? And what if I pass on it and actually miss the greatest blessing and the greatest movement of God that you wanted to do in my life? I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to stand before God and say, God, I'm sorry I missed what you wanted to do because I was afraid. I didn't want to trust you. We can choose to miss the wave. The second way we can respond is we can respond by choosing to paddle away. We can paddle in the opposite direction of where what God wants. And we read, if you were here last week, we talked about the Mark Danzy shared about the story of Jonah. And Jonah did that in his life, didn't he? He ran in the absolute opposite direction of where God wanted him to be. And what happened? He ended up in the belly of a fish, right? You know, I learned this with my son, Peyton, who's 4 years old. He thinks he's Superman in the ocean. When a wave was breaking, instead of riding the wave, he liked to throw out his chest and to kind of show it his power, right? But the problem is, when a four-year-old crashes into a wave, he ends up in the undertow, right? And the same is true in our life. God will always be knocking and sometimes annoyingly inviting you back to be a part of what he wants to do in your life. Because he's saying, I don't want you to miss it. Come be part of it. Or the third thing we can choose to do is we can choose to ride the wave. We can choose, number three, to ride the wave that God created and see his power at work in your life. You know, Charles Stanley, Andy Stanley talks about how his dad, Charles, used to say to him all the time, Andy, God has a plan for your life, and I don't want you to miss it. God has a plan for your life, and I don't want you to miss it. And that's true not only for him, but for all of us. God has a plan for your life, and I don't want you to miss it. Think about if, as a parent, if you start sharing that with your kids, think about how, first of all, it's speaking truth into them, but the legacy you can start to leave. God wants to work in your life, and I don't want you to miss it. And the truth is, the Spirit of God is always wanting to move in this community, in your life, and in this world. And the question we all need to ask is this: how, Holy Spirit, how is God moving in the world, and how can I be part of it? God, how are you moving in the world, and how can I be part of it? Because God wants us to recognize it and then decide to jump in, to ride that wave and be part of what God is doing in the world.